Good morning. We're going to have a good message this morning. I really believe that. We had at 9, and I just believe it's going to minister to our hearts a lot. I know that. I believe that. So I'm excited about it. Praise the Lord. Thanks for your prayers regarding Poland and the Ukrainians are you know, immigrating, or they're in looking for refuge. Thanks for your love, your prayers, support. Money has been gathered. Medical supplies have been given, donated. A lot of good stuff is going on. We're going to Poland for our Eurocon conference. It's been canceled 2 years because of COVID. So we haven't met, the European churches in Greater Grace haven't met for 3 years. Two Eurocons, so that's 3 years. So we are excited about it and anticipate the Spirit ministering to us and encouraging us so we continue on in our good works, good efforts, our evangelism, our outreaches, our meetings, our youth ministry, counseling, and ministry of all kinds. So thank you for your love and your prayers. Some of you don't know, but we have been in Europe for a long time now, more than 40 years, and God has done a lot of good things. And also in the former Soviet Union, in 1990, we moved to Hungary and started to work in a 10-year period. We planted churches in 24 former Soviet bloc cities. There was Uzbekistan, where Pastor Glenn Cannon and Pete Westera are visiting in Tashkent today. They were in Baku yesterday and the day before. We have in Tumen, Siberia, Moscow. We have in St. Petersburg, Bishkek, Kyrgyzstan, Ashgabat, Turkmenistan. All this is like home for us because we lived there and worked there during that 10-year period and saw God move. And we believe God's not done, but he's working and he's on the move. Not only over there, as far as Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Tajikistan, but here in America, where we really need what we're going to share this morning. So I'd like to start the service just by asking you to stand and have a good attitude and be really awake and have a good spirit of thanksgiving and praise. And just stand and say hallelujah to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hey, I got a good attitude today. And turn to your neighbor and say, hey, I got a good attitude. Okay, you may be seated. Pastor Knight, good to see you. God bless you. Awesome, and the whole family. Wow, the Colby family, the Knight family. Deuteronomy chapter 30. We're going to go a little bit slow, bit by bit, but I need your attention, and I want to teach here and have you think with me. We are going to cover something about hypocrisy and explain that to you, teach about what that is, and then also the gospel of grace. So I want you to look at Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart. Circumcision was a Jewish in tradition that started with Abraham, who believed God. When Abraham believed God, he was saved. That's Genesis 15. He believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. When you hear that phrase, imputed righteousness, that means he was saved. justified, made righteous, forgiven, made righteous. So later he was circumcised. Circumcision in the anatomy of the human body for males, the circumcision with a knife affecting his reproductive organ, okay? And that has a meaning to it. On the outside, it's a symbol that he is different. Gentiles were not circumcised. Jews were. Jews were circumcised and meant that they were a Jew. They were different. They were marked. They were different. They were, their flesh was cut. But here it says there's another kind. It's not of the flesh. It's of the heart. So if you take the same idea that God changes me in my heart, that he cuts my heart, so to speak, or changes my heart so that, look at verse 6, it says, and the heart of thy seed to what? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. Now, we could draw a picture. This we'll use to the sermon. Here's a Jew, and that's his outward. This is the outer flesh, the outer man, his flesh. But in him is his heart, and this is inward. Circumcision in the flesh is one thing, but circumcision in the heart, to love God from the heart, that's the new birth. That's meaning God gave me a heart, a different one. Mark 7, 21 to 23, there's a list of 13 things, bad things that come out of my heart. I'm a sinner. We think sinful things, stealing, lying, deceit, treachery, adultery, dishonesty, blasphemy. That's from my heart. But then the new heart, love God, love righteousness, love truth. This is the new life given. So which is a Jew? Is a Jew just a man that is circumcised in his flesh and that's enough? Or is a Jew somebody circumcised in their heart? So turn to Romans 2 for the answer to that question. Romans 2, verse 28. And I'm going to have you talk to your neighbor, too, for a minute after we look at this. Verse 28. So if you don't like your neighbor, you can move. Now you can just look down at the ground. I told you you have to have a good attitude. Okay, chapter 2, verse 28. But he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Do you see that? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Using our picture here, here is the outward man circumcised, and he says, I'm a Jew. Paul will say, just because you're a Jew outwardly doesn't make you a Jew. Because a Jew is somebody who has it inwardly. That's what he's saying here. Let's look at it. 28. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter. whose praise is not of man, but of God. Let's put here on our diagram, this man has praise of men. And also of the letter. We'll explain that in a second. The letter. Verse 29. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit. Put over here. The heart and the spirit. Not of the letter. And not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. This is praise of God, right? Praise. How'd you get your new heart? God. What do you mean? I got a new heart. It came from God. Glory be to God. God gave me a new life. He gave me a new heart. But you're not a Jew. Are you circumcised in the flesh? No, that's not Romans 2, 28 and 29. That's not really the point, is the flesh. Because there are people that say, walk around and say, I am a Jew circumcised. I know the Bible. I have the letter of the Bible. I know the Bible. Jesus comes to those people and Jesus says to them, do you love? Do you forgive? Do you have joy? Do you care? Do you have a heart? Do you have a heart for God and for God's people and for the world? And so they, in their, like we all can do this, we go to the outer form. Translated in our language, we could say, I go to church, leave me alone. I read my Bible. I've found people I talk to on the street. I've read my Bible. I read it 3 times. You know, don't talk to me about the Bible. I read the Bible. It's like, oh, whoa. It's like, there's a form of religion, and this form of religion is what some people prefer. They may want it that way. They may want the form, but we have to ask the question, wait a minute. God's not interested with the external form and our pride, our religious pride and our hypocrisy, where we give the impression of how good and good people we are and how we obey or we do the right thing. But inside, in my heart, I don't have any power over my heart. I have the old heart. I have a heart that is doing secretly things. I don't have the joy or the love. I don't have the power. So I have the form, but I don't have the power. So that's what we're speaking about today. So turn with me to go to back to Romans 2, 28 and 29. And I'll read it, and then you talk to your neighbor about it for a minute. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. Could you say, I'm not a Jew, but I am a Jew? Couldn't you say that? I sometimes say that to people on the street. I am a spiritual Jew, or to somebody I'm talking to. Oh, you are Jewish. Oh, I am a Jew also. I am a spiritual Jew. Romans 2, 29. And they don't know the Bible, of course, like you do, but I'm just saying that it says that here. He is a Jew, which is one inwardly. Circumcision is that of the heart. It is in the spirit and not in the letter. Remember, the Jews were very proud of the Bible knowledge they had and how they understood it. And Jesus said, if you knew my Father, you would know me, and you would know the scripture that they speak of me. But you don't know my Father, and you don't know. So he was very tough with these people because they were glorying in their religion. They're glorying in their religion, and that happens to us. Yes, us too. It happens to us that somehow we become proud about our image, about how we behave or how we speak and how much we know. But then Jesus is saying that it's not outward, it's inward. And that's the life of the Spirit. And grace, the gospel message. Let's talk about this for another minute here. Or no, I told you could talk to your neighbor about it. So go ahead. You can say to your neighbor, what's Pastor Schaller talking about? What do you hear him saying? What's he saying? I'm impressed how much you like to talk. Whoa. All right, turn now to Galatians chapter 1. Part of what I want to say today is dealing with this outer man picture. The outward and how we gravitate to the outward. You know, we gravitate to how you see me, how I behave, what type of a Christian am I, how you see me as a Christian. We gravitate to the outward. But we also know that life is really lived before people. The outward impression is important, by the way. There are some people that buy a certain car because they want to give an impression, or the clothes we wear, or the way we look, and these things are a big part of life for people. Where did you go on vacation? How much money do you make? Where did you graduate from school? What part of the city do you live in? All of these things that are on the outside, for many people, they are so important. They are very important, and in a religious way, too. Like, what impressions do I give of people? I give to people, and what do I have from them? So it's outward. But that's not why Jesus came. Jesus came to go to the... He said to the Pharisees, you wash the outside of the plate. It was at Luke 22. You're washing the outside, verse 44, 21, Luke 21, 44, I think. But inside, it's filthy. You are like graves. On the outside, they used to color their graves like in Haiti. They do that. They paint the tombstones and the... out in the, they have these graveyards with these colorful colors of paint, but inside are dead men's bones. And he said that to the Pharisees, that you are like people that are occupied with the outward, but I came that you would be born again and you would have a new heart. And that now you would have love in your heart. Jesus was shocked when he saw how cold and hard-hearted the people were. When he healed on the Sabbath, he became angry in Mark 3. He was very angry. There was a man with a withered hand in the synagogue, and he could feel it in the atmosphere that Jews were there watching. Are you going to heal him on the Sabbath? And Jesus told the man, come forward. And the man, it looks like, I read the maybe Kenneth Wiest on it, but the man really didn't want to be out, and he knew he could be a showcase. And Jesus said, "Stretch forth your hand," and he did, and it was healed. And that Jewish religious people were angry about it. "What? You're angry because I heal a man's hand? I heal? If you had a sheep in a ditch on the Sabbath, wouldn't you pull him out? So how much more this daughter of Abraham," another miracle, "daughter of Abraham is healed." So we must live our faith from our heart. That's why sometimes when we do our duty, we check our hearts. Am I doing it before men, or am I doing it before God? Because hypocrisy is a common thing in all of our hearts. Hypocrisy. "I love you, but I don't. I say it, but do I?" I have to check my heart. God knows if I do, what my motives are. In our world, we have all these artificial materials for building houses. Have you noticed? Houses are built out of plastic pieces and furniture. Sometimes, like yesterday, I was at my son's house and there was a coffee table. I go, "Oh, is that looks like it's marble." And he goes, "I doubt it." Jewelry, there's pasty jewelry, pearls made of paste or whatever. Gold that is spray painted gold. And what's real amongst us? Is there mahogany, marble? Is there gold? Is there silver? What is real? Listen, you are real. Amen. You are real. That's amazing. Are you? Yes, you are. How did it happen? He gave you a heart, a new heart, by grace. That's this life. So we aren't living in hypocrisy. We are living in the Spirit, in the grace of God, and truth in the inner man. You meditate on it, relate to it, it touches your spirit, you are alive to it. You come here to listen to the Bible because you know the Bible is the word of life, and that life resonates with you in your new heart. And you say, "Go ahead, keep preaching, Pastor. I'm listening to you. I get it. Yes, amen. I understand that. Thank you. That's encouraging to me. That's the sound of truth. That's what I'm looking for in an artificial world of hypocrisy and emptiness, where people say things but they can't do them. That's like all of us, except for the new birth. There is a very, very awesome thing happening in your life, and that is your heart is alive unto God. That's amazing. Okay. So let's go to Galatians here. And we have the churches in Galatia have heard the gospel and have received a new heart and been born again. And now a false teacher has come to them. Let me explain to you the false teacher. The Jews were, the man on the right who's circumcised, also as a Jew, followed dietary laws. Did he eat shrimp? No. Did he eat Maryland crab, blue crab? No. Maine lobsters? Portuguese eel? Did he eat those foods? Did he drink blood? No. Jews couldn't do that. They were not to do that. They had dietary law. They had religious law. They had ceremonial law. They had moral law. They had civil law, more than 600 laws, and they followed them and they obeyed them if they were dedicated people. So they could become proud about how they obeyed and did the law. That's on the side. But was it in their heart? You see, David in the Old Testament is an example of a man who had it in his heart. Where did he get it? God gave it to him. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in me. David is an example of a New Testament believer. He's an example of a man who understood law, but he understood law this way. Behind the law is love. And if I don't love, then I'm not keeping the law. I may keep the letter of the law. I may be circumcised. I may not be eating lobster. I'm living by the letter of the law, but I don't know love. I don't know love. I become a hard, religious person without love. You and I are focusing on God and his love. The Galatians had that, but they went to this. They were removed from the gospel of grace, and they moved to law. And Paul said, I marvel. It means, like, I'm amazed that you so soon. I have the text here. Let's go to Galatians 1 and verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So soon, I have a Greek study on this from this commentary. So soon, the Greek word can mean either easily or quickly. So soon removed. That means easily you have moved from grace. You easily moved to this one. And what was the message of this other gospel? It was be circumcised, keep the law of Moses. That's what you should do as a Christian. Where did the teachers come from? They came from Jerusalem. What was their label? They were called Judaizers. Did they believe in Christ? Yes. But they believed if you believed in Christ, you were to keep the law. And so they went north to Turkey. There in Galatia, they were teaching these churches that you must keep the law. And Paul said, after he had been there as a missionary in his first trip, and then he was gone, and then he gets word that these people have moved. They have moved in their minds and now living by formality, by outward structure and behavior, and not by the Spirit. That's in Galatians 3. But go to verse 6, chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel you are so soon, that means easily and also quickly, turned aside. The word turning away is or removed. The Greek word was used of military desertion, which was punishable by death. The form of this Greek verb indicates that the Galatian believers were voluntarily deserting grace to pursue the legalism taught by the false teachers of Galatians 5:4. Could I see this happening? I have seen it happen. That people would rather live in some like simple structure or form of Christianity instead of the life of Christianity. They would prefer a simple form that they can do by their flesh. I can do that. I can be a good guy. I want to be a good guy. That's all I need. I just want to be a good guy. I want to read my Bible, go to church, and just be a good guy. That's all I need. But we know that you can do it on the outside, but what are you doing secretly? what's coming out of your heart. What kind of sins are coming out of your heart secretly? Is there the pride of man? Is there the sexual addiction? Is there the lust or hunger? Is there some secret sin that I have going on in my life? But I don't talk about it. I give the impression everything is good. But actually, Paul says, you should stand in the grace, for the grace is what sets you free. The message of the gospel is what changes your life. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is what you are hungry for. The Holy Spirit and your new heart is where you really live. And so he was amazed that this could happen. I am not. I've seen people get tired in life and they just say, you know, I'm a Christian. Let me just do this. I'm a good guy. I can just do this. And they kind of keep their behavior and their public image is like this. But inside, there's a straitjacket. Inside, there's a legalism. Or inside, there's a liberalism. The sensuality. Inside, there's the kind of dull. It's dull and sometimes passionate. And there's a kind of emptiness in the heart of man. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. There's a longing for truth, but a same time a preservation of my self-life. I can do this. I'm going to do this. But Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. It means in all the things that we do, we can go to our private prayer closet and we can just say, Lord, I am empty. I am needy. I trust you. Please fill me with your spirit. Please put it in my heart. I'm tired of the words. I'm tired of the action. I'm tired of pretending. I'm tired. There are people that leave a church because they say, I'm tired of pretending. I'm tired of pretending. I can't do this. I don't want to pretend. And we want to say to them and to all of us, I agree. I don't want to pretend. I want it to be real. I want Jesus to fill me with his spirit and speak to my heart. And I want to be quiet before him and believe him and trust him and bring it back to me and encourage me and refresh in me. Listen to this. This new life that you and I have, this new heart, is really characterized by liberty. It's John 8:32-36. It's liberty, real liberty. Hypocrites, they can't handle liberty. Because hypocrites they're controlling, they're afraid to be exposed. But a man of liberty doesn't have that fear. I am what I am by the grace of God. You are free in your spirit, in your heart. You have real freedom. It's a paradox because in the world, they think our Christianity binds us. They think, oh, what a terrible way to live. Like they're Christians. Ah, they can't do this and they can't do that. And they think they have the only way to heaven. They think that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Oh, the Christians. And they carry those big black books. And the Christians, and if you do something wrong, they will be on your case. Ah, the Christian. It's a straitjacket. Their creativity is destroyed. Their lives are so narrow. They're so judgmental. They're so nasty. And you know, they could be right. There are those kinds. They gossip. They talk about each other. They accuse each other. They judge each other. That's the world of hypocrisy that actually Paul said it to the Galatians, be careful if you are judging one another like you are, that you don't bite and devour each other, meaning actually like biting and eating up each other. If you've ever been in a legalistic church, that is a disaster. It's not fun. I don't like it. I've never been. I'm not there. I don't care about it. I don't care about that, you know, that form that us as arrogant people have, the praise of men, the praise of men. What do men say about you? I don't care what men say about me. What do men say about you? Like, what's your reputation? Are you kidding me? Is that our target? Our reputation or what people say about us? Not when you have found that Holy Spirit that fills you and ministers to your heart, and you found wonderful things from God in the Word. When you have found joy in life and freedom personally, freedom from sin. That's what the hypocrite doesn't have. He has a form and he protects, but he doesn't have inside a liberty from sin. But you have. You have. Well, how do we know that? Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I can go back to that. I can go back to that. The minute I am too concerned about my outer life and the impressions that I give and all of that kind of thing, when we are afraid of being exposed, when we can't talk about things that are open and transparent, when we're afraid and we're trying to protect our reputation and so on, then we can get some idea that I want God to be deeper in my life. I want God that I will not be afraid. We will have the praise of God and not the praise of men. That God will honor you. You pray in secret, he rewards you openly. You have a spiritual life and you have freedom with each other. And you don't have to protect yourself. You don't have to sound self-righteous. You don't have to worry about what the world is saying or the world is doing. Because when you have the freedom, then that freedom, it's 2 Corinthians 3. It's where the presence of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we grow in the liberty from glory to glory. And we behold as in a mirror the face. And we are changed from glory to glory. And you are satisfied. Let me finish up with saying this. This life is the satisfying one. Are you in a straitjacket? I don't know. If I live in sin, I'm in a straitjacket. But if we live in Christ, we do, because it's been given to us, we are free. Free to sing, free to listen, free not to defend ourselves, free to care, free to find God's love coming out of our hearts, Romans 5:5. We are free to follow Jesus and trust him. We are free people. We have found this deep liberty, and we don't have to live in hypocrisy, not have to live in it, but we don't automatically live in a form of godliness that has hypocrisy, but we have the real mahogany, the real marble, the real gold, not the plastic pieces, not the artificial, not the spray-painted gold. I found spray-painted gold paint. I thought that's fantastic. I can fool everybody. I take 2x4s and spray paint. I can fool everybody but not God. I can fool everybody but not myself. How does Lincoln say it? can fool some of the people some of the time, right? And some of the people all the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. It's going to come out. It'll be seen. Who are we? We are, by God's grace, crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. In the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, and I do not frustrate the grace of God. Let's talk about that in closing. Grace of God. I frustrate it by not hearing it, not receiving it, not wanting it. I am so hurt by what happened. I've been offended by people. I've been offended by the church. I've been offended by my friends. I am hurt. And I refuse to receive the grace of God. And by the way, I am circumcised and I haven't had shrimp for years. And I have been obeying the law. And by the way, my name, the Pharisees know my name. I made it to the top list. And that's, you know, it's who I am. And Paul is saying, I have been there. You are an empty guy. I know who you are. I have been there. That's not the gospel. The gospel is reality. It's where you're living as a sinner. It's when God is loving you as you are and has given you a new heart. It's where the Holy Spirit is flowing in you and out of you. It's when you know the truth and you hear it and you go, yes, amen, God is for me and not against me. And that love and that liberty is what Jesus had when he was in Jerusalem. And he came in on a donkey, and he looked around and he saw what is really going on and said, my Father's house is not a den of thieves and robbers, but that's what you've made it into. Because you are people that are, you've missed the whole thing. You have missed the whole thing. You have no idea who I am and what I have come for. But what was it? 50 days later, Pentecost came and the Holy Spirit came all over that place. And they were just saying, Jesus is raised from the dead. And the church was born. And that is our history, heritage as Christians. That's what we are looking for. That's what we have. And by the way, do not be turned aside by some artificial thing. That's not the real mahogany. That's not the real gold. That's not the real marble. But you look for it and find it. And when the Holy Spirit is saying to you in your heart, amen, and you're opening your Bible and understanding how to live the life, then you'll have the fluctuation. I have it. I know about it. I know what this hypocrisy and emptiness is. As I do the right thing, but I then check my heart before God and say, Lord, you know, I'm going through the motions, but I need you. And please fill me with your Spirit and speak to my heart and build me up, because I don't want to do this without you showing me and teaching me how to live this new way. Amen. So this is to all of us here today listening. Jesus, you know what we're talking about today. And what we are thinking, you know what everyone in this room is thinking. And what we're hungry for. And how you are not far from any one of us. You are in us and for us. You have finished the work, so this is our status. This is our privilege. And we want to put off the old man and put on the new man. Be persuaded. And not be deceived by the messages of the world that say, oh, the Christian, oh yeah, I know all about that. No, you don't know about it unless you know Christ. Christ is the one that knows about it. And so do we in the Spirit and in the Word, in our understanding of your grace, how much, how you died to make us a new people. And maybe someone here has never accepted Christ. You've never done it yet. Do it today. Say to Christ, Jesus, I trust you. Forgive me. Come into my life. Save me. And walk on in faith. Keep coming back, listening to the Word, and God will be teaching you. Maybe this very day, God will be so strong in the Spirit in you that you will know. For some others, it just grows from a seed and just takes time. But walk with God. Walk with God. You will know it. Walk with God. In Jesus' name. Amen.